Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 352, stanzas 1 through 4. Had not the Lord been Israel's help, when angry foes assailed, had not the Lord been on our side, our righteous cause had failed. 1 through 4 of Psalter 352.
congregation the portion of God's word that we wish to read this morning. You can find recorded in the epistle of Paul to the Philippians and are up to the third chapter, Philippians chapter 3. But first we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor any stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but there's one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the praise of the high calling of God, of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from hence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able, even to subdue all things unto himself.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Dustin Griznick, who must receive surgery in the week to come. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, Thou who in Thy good providence bringest us together in Thy house in this morning hour, and whom we ought to acknowledge, wilt Thou give it in our hearts in a rich and in a true measure, for the blessings that Thou bestowest upon us are so very great, and Thou knowest what we still need above all that which is natural, that our souls stand in need of that blessing from Thee, which we cannot give unto ourselves. And then we have heard it read also out of Thy holy word, how that Thy servant did have so many advantages of the flesh, for he was a man of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Lord, Thou hadst given unto him blessing after blessing, and yet he did count all but loss, for nothing could give unto him what was necessary to live in comfort and to die in peace. And Thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us, for that is all the same. We beseech Thee, O Lord, in Thy mercy, and that Thou may look upon each and every one of us this day. And we are gathered round Thy word of truth, and we cannot do without Thy Spirit's blessing to bring Thy word help from above, and to hear Thy word, oh, that Thou may come in our midst, and that Thou may remember us together also in a special way with these young people who have come in this morning hour. with a desire to make a public confession of faith. Lord, thou knowest that it has been a time of preparation in the months that are gone by, so that they have long thought of this matter. But thou knowest also whether that has become for them a matter that they have brought upon their knees before thee. Oh, that thou may look on them in this morning hour, when that moment has come, when they will give their answer to that solemn oath. Oh, Lord, that thou may be on their right and on their left hand, when they confess before men and before thy holy countenance, that which they are not in themselves able to keep. Oh, that thou may give them a prayer, a cry to thee in this hour, that thou wouldst be on their right and on their left, and that thou may go forward with them in that oath, that thou would also bless thy word in the midst of this congregation, and that it may be for them also a blessing, that thou may give in the midst of us also to remember that oath that we have sworn maybe so many years ago. Then it is possible that thou bringest it in this hour back unto us to strike us in our hearts therewith, that what we have done with it all. O Lord, thou who art almighty, and who art able to grant life from the dead, thou hast the means in thy hand. We do use them, but we cannot depend alone upon them. For it will work out our greater destruction, except that thou grantest thy indispensable blessing. Lord, we read in thy holy word that thou didst say that I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And thou hadst power to lay that life down, and thou hadst power to take it again. But now thou sayest that my sheep hear my voice. Lord, thou knowest where that thy sheep are. Oh, that thou would increase the number among thy fold, even in this morning hour, to grant the fruit of thy resurrection life from the dead, and that the number of that people may be increased, but that thy flock, that thy sheep may also hear thy voice. O thou knowest what lives within their hearts. Then they say, Lord, O how long maybe has it been since that I have heard thy voice? O Lord, we beseech thee, wilt thou return, and wilt thou arise for the sake of thy children, and wilt thou grant unto them a little token of thy knowledge, thy presence, and thy favor in this morning hour under thy holy word. And wilt thou be with all thy truly sent servants, increase their number also, that they may be sent forth to bring thy word amongst Jew and Gentile. And may it be also within the established churches and in our own denomination and congregations, and that thou wouldst have mercy upon us who have departed in so many ways, but in the world we have permitted to come into our hearts, into our homes, and into the church. But Lord, then it is only of thee that thou art able to drive it all away, and that thou art able to make right everything that we have done and that we continue to do and are wrong. O thou thyself art able to make it right in a moment by true and saving faith, even to give an eye upon thee and thy only begotten Son, in whom thou art well pleased when thou canst not be pleased at all with us. Lord, that thou would remember thy church, that they may be given an eye to behold thee time and again, and a little strength to go forward in the Meshach of the wilderness of this world. Lord, that thou may look on all the afflicted and all the sick. And when there is much sickness, also in this time wilt thou give health and strength to the bodies. And wilt thou grant the ability to come up to thy house in thy time. And wilt thou be then with all those that gather upon this thy day, and those that are not able also in places where they are persecuted for the sake of thy name. Strengthen and encourage them in thy mercy. And wilt thou provide for all that are without thy word in this world. And that thy blessings also may be given to rest upon thy word. And wilt thou remember those, him also that hopes to receive surgery in this week. Lord, thou knowest the many concerns of these parents. Oh, that thou may remember them together. And this boy, Lord, that thou may give unto him a little courage and a little strengthening from above. And when he also will look up against it, but Lord, that thou may remember him. And that thou may give him to pray to thee. Give him a little place before thee to lay all his cares. And that he may be given also to know thee. And that true and saving faith to believe in thee. And that thou may carry him through in everything. The other children also in the midst of the congregation where there are needs. Two young people in the week that is gone by that have been spared in accidents upon the roads. Oh Lord, how close, how close, how close. And that we are to that great eternity. And that we know not it is so sure as thy servant did say. And that it is but a step between me and death. Oh, that thou may give to those two young people. And that in their hearts in this hour, in this day. And that they may cry to thee for the need of their soul. Oh, that they may see something of thy sparing hand. And that it may be brought with power in their hearts in this morning. And these parents, that they are not coming in to the cemetery in this week. Lord, then it could have been so different. And thou hast, as it were, given even life from the death. But wilt thou remember them together and bless this way in the midst of the congregation for the awakening of our souls. And wilt thou show us that we have a soul and that we travel to a great and never-ending eternity. And remember all the parents of these young people that may be here also in this hour. Lord, thou knowest all that lives in their hearts. Oh, could it be that with the gladness that lives within in this morning hour, and that thou may also grant thy indispensable blessing. Help us too, Lord, to stand here in this morning. For thou knowest all our weakness in our sickness in the week that is gone by. But thou givest that we may come here yet in this morning hour. But we need a little strength. We ask of thee help from the sanctuary to give health in our body. And in the necessary strength to do our work in this hour. And may it be that thou would take away all that does hinder. And that thou may give thy word free course. That it may live in our heart to bring it forth. That there may be a place in the midst of the congregation also to receive it. Oh, do more than we dare ask or think. And take away all that is amiss and sinful within our hearts and lives. Bless us undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 295, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. They that traffic on the sea, and while unceasing watch they keep, see Jehovah's majesty and his wonders in the deep. For he bids the storm wind fly, lifting ocean's waves on high. The last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. 295, the first three stanzas. Thank you. Beloved congregation, last week we may commemorate together the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And we have heard that it is an event of that is worthy of a great celebration. It was so in the life of his children on that day, who had mourned and wept. What more awful thing is there than the death of those whom we love? Then there is mourning, and then there is weeping. But what more joyful thing would there be than when our loved ones would rise again from the dead with all the rejoicing and the joy and the gladness that goes along with it? There is a great joy that is awaiting that true church of God who must experience what death is. Thus David, he says, that weeping may endure for a night, but that joy that is coming in the morning. And something of that joy was the desire of the Apostle Paul, which we can read of also in the words of our text for this hour, which you can find in that portion that was read to you from Philippians chapter 3. And thereof the first part of the 10th verse. Philippians 3. In verse 10, the first part, these words, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So far, the words of our text. Paul's desire to know Christ and the power of his resurrection in two simple thoughts according to our text. That is, the desire to have the knowledge of Christ. And second, that is to have the desire for the knowledge of the power of his resurrection. Paul's desire to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. First, the knowledge of Christ. And second, the knowledge of the power of his resurrection. That I may know him. Ignorance, congregation, that is a great curse. Ignorance is the result of our fall. Thus, children, when you have trouble, when you have difficulty with your learning, maybe sometimes in school, then you may know that that difficulty, that is a result, a consequence of our own sin. We were created differently. No man did not know everything in his creation. Only God is omniscient. However, man has known very much in his creation, because we know that he has been given that wisdom to know that whole creation that God has put under his power and authority, and that he has known all of the creatures, that he was able to give unto them names according to their natures. But above all, he knew God. He knew his Maker. He knew his majesty. He knew his righteousness, his justice. He knew his holiness. He knew his law, the demands of that law, the promise of that law, and also the threatenings of that law. But there is something he did not know. He did not know, nor did he desire what Paul says that he desired to know in our text. And that is Christ and the power of his resurrection. That was at that time not necessary because man was still in his innocence. No sin, no death. And when there is no death, there is also no resurrection from the dead. You see, how is it that Paul, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection? Did not Paul know Christ? Did he not also know, did he not also preach the resurrection of Christ? Indeed, Paul was no stranger of Christ. We know that Christ has spoken to him, that he has spoken to him out of heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And yet, we read here in this chapter that Paul says, not that I had already attained, neither were already perfect. I count not myself to have apprehended. There is a church that so very well understands those words of Paul. We live in a day, young people, when men, they are speaking of the knowledge of Christ, but they have no knowledge or even desire for that knowledge of him that the Apostle Paul is speaking about. When Paul says, that I might know him. When I would ask our confession class students, then they would be able to tell you that there are three things that are necessary for us to know. And that is misery, deliverance, and gratitude. But they could also tell you that kind of knowledge that is necessary. That it is not a mere intellectual knowledge, but that it is a knowledge of the heart, that it is a knowledge of experience, that it is a knowledge of faith. That I may know him. The knowledge of faith that is very powerful. The knowledge of faith that is sufficient to make a man to feel. That is sufficient to make a man weep. That is sufficient to make a man rejoice. The knowledge of faith is a knowledge which gives motivation to a man. And Paul, he says, now that I may know him. Thus, what does that mean? What kind of knowledge is that that the Apostle Paul desires to have of Christ? We read in the previous verse that he says something with very similar but meaning the same, that he says that I may be found in him. To be found in him, that is the same as to know him. Thus, knowledge, this knowledge that is an intimate, personal knowledge of Christ. Paul, he speaks about a union, that I may be found in him. We read that the Lord Jesus also speaks of that union. He says, except a man eat my flesh and drink my blood, he has no life in him. We know at that time that many of that people said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? And we read that many of his disciples went back from that time, not his 12 disciples, but many of his followers, from that time they went back and they walked no more with him. The natural religious man, he is seeking after the benefits of Christ. Do you seek them too? There are great benefits. We hope to hear that. And it is understandable that we would seek those benefits. But the natural religious man, he is not seeking that union with Christ. And why not? Because that union with Christ, that requires the renunciation of myself. That word, to know him, that I may know him, that is the same word that is used in God's word of the marriage bond, that is speaking about a union, the union between a man and his wife, when two, they become one flesh. That is that knowledge. That is that personal, intimate knowledge of one another. What does Paul say about that union? He says that the man, he is the head of his wife. Thus, the wife, she is called by the Lord to be subject unto her husband. What does that call for? That calls for the renouncing of her own will. That calls for her bowing, to bow under that will of her husband. But in that subjection, she receives everything. In that renunciation of herself, then she receives the riches of her husband. She receives the love of her husband. As she receives her husband himself. It is in that renunciation of herself that she experiences that blessed communion, that union with him, of that blessed marriage bond, that she may know him. Then they become one in body, one in spirit, one in flesh, one in will, one in desire, when it is right, when it is well. Paul, he says, that I may know him. Have you also such a desire? That you may know him? How is that union between the soul of a man and Christ? How is that union established? How is that union upheld? That is upheld through faith. That is faith in its planting, faith in its exercise. Thus, faith that is binding two together, that those two, they may become one, according to whom the Lord himself is binding together. What do we read in God's word? We read that the Lord, he is bringing to every man his wife. Thus, the Lord is joining himself, those two together. And there is, when Christ, he is being joined to his church, then there is no putting away. There is no putting asunder of these two. That's faith. Faith is what is binding these two together. Faith is what is making those two into one. Faith is that by which that bride, she may receive everything from the bridegroom, and that she may enjoy something of that blessed union of knowing him. It is now only that soul that is in renunciation of itself that may receive that blessed union, that communion with Christ. That is only in the renunciation of self that a man may be given to know him. Thus, it is only when a man is given to renounce his own righteousness that he may know something of being married unto Christ and to receive in his own experience that righteousness which is in Christ, that it may become his own. It is only when a man is given to renounce his own holiness, when all his righteousnesses, they become to himself filthy rags, when he becomes one in himself that is not able to bring forth one good thing, it is only in such a renunciation of himself, his goodness, his powers, his strength, his righteousness, that he may be married. That he may be married unto Christ. That he may know him by that true personal experience. So we read in God's word, that it is by faith that, what? That the blind, they receive their sight. When their own eyes, they have no sight. It is by faith that we read that the lame walk, that is those who have no feet to go, it is by faith that we read that the lepers are cleansed, those who are in themselves filthy, polluted, who cannot cleanse themselves. It is by faith that the dead are raised. Dead. with no ability, laying in their pollution, laying in all of their own corruption. These, that is now that bride that the Lord has prepared for that bridegroom. And that these two may be united together in a knowledge, a blessed, intimate knowledge wherein that bride, she is receiving everything from her husband. And that she may receive his protection, that she may receive his love, that she may receive his care. And all of the goodness that is within him, that is through that faith, flowing forth from that bridegroom into that bride, in that blessed knowledge of him. Do you know something of that blessed knowledge? That is the knowledge of him, and we read of the power of his resurrection. That is our second thought. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Children, if we were in school, then I would say you may answer me, but we are not in school, so you must be quiet. But in your minds, you have to give me an answer. Who in the Bible has known, so that is the same as the word has experienced, to know and to experience, that is what we speak about. Who in the Bible has known, who has experienced the resurrection of Christ? You will say to me, Lazarus. That is right. There was a son of the widow of Nain. He has known, he has experienced the resurrection of Christ. We read of that daughter of Jairus, that she also has experienced the power of the resurrection. What was now the same about all those three people? Lazarus and the son of that widow and that daughter of Jairus. What was now the same about all of them? Say, that is such a simple question. They were dead. That is right. Who alone is able to experience, not to know in their mind, but who alone is able to experience in their life the power of the resurrection of Christ. That is, those who are dead. The Apostle Paul, he says, that I may know the power of his resurrection. How is it that Paul is asking this? That can only be because Paul feels something. He feels something of what? He feels something of death. And he feels something of the inability from his own side to deliver himself from death. You say, was Paul dead? No. Paul was alive. Paul, he has received spiritual life. He was resurrected from the dead. What does he say then? That I may know the power of his resurrection. Then Paul, he desires to feel something. To feel something of the power of that life. Thus the church, they are in the state of life. But we know that the condition of that life is not always the same. Because then there are often times that people, they are feeling so much of deadness. Is that then the desire of that people? No. Not that we say that they are not sometimes too slothful to come out of that deadness, but they desire to know that life. They desire to feel that life, the power of that life. Oh, there is so much that is flowing out of the resurrection of Christ. So much that it is necessary for us to know, to feel, to experience in our own life. We heard last week of the first fruit of the resurrection of Christ. That is what? That is regeneration. And so we heard that Easter, that is giving such reason that an unconverted, dead in trespasses and sins. Is that where we are? Is that where we have to confess that we are, even after these many years under the reading, under the preaching of that holy word of God, that we say we are dead in sins and in trespasses? It is the resurrection of Christ which is a giving that grounds that we should seek, that we should ask, that we should knock with all our heart and with all our might and with all our soul. Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. The first. There will be a multitude to follow him. A multitude that no man can number. Or will you not be one of them? Will you not seek to be one of them? Will you not say then with the Apostle Paul, Lord, that I may know thee, and that I may know that power, that I may know the power of thy resurrection? They were angels. They were present at the resurrection of Christ. There are angels, they are rejoicing. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. There is joy in heaven when the fruits of the resurrection of Christ, they are making themselves evident here in the world. You say it will take great power. It will take great power to convert me. I cannot change my own heart. It is worldly. It is fleshly. It is all dead. Great power. Indeed. What do our fathers call it? Regeneration. They say that it is a resurrection from the dead. A making alive, which God works in us without our aid. You cannot ask the dead to help you. No, he will do it. Because he is risen from the dead. That is regeneration. Clearly, our fathers say, a supernatural work. Most powerful. At the same time, most delightful. Astonishing. Mysterious, ineffable, not inferior to the creation itself or to the resurrection from the dead. What does Paul say? He says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. They know. They feel. They experience what? The power. The power of the resurrection of Christ. There is a new life. There is new breath. There is new hunger. There is new thirst. There is eating. There is drinking. There is laboring. There is rejoicing. There is mourning. All that is the power. Is that always the same? No, it is not always the same. It is not always the same in the power of that life. Because children, why? Because sometimes we get sick. And when you are sick, I ask you, what do you then want? To remain sick? No. You say, no, 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 no. I want to get better. All God's people, they don't want to remain sick either. No, they can feel it. But do you have power to get better? You have no more power to get better than to give yourself life in the first place. And so that is with God's children. When they feel that sickness of sloth, when they feel that sickness wherein they are wandering as sheep away from the Lord over and over and over. Is that their delight? Is that their desire? No. No. Paul says that I might know the power of his resurrection. Then there is a desire for that life to be felt, to be experienced, to be lived out in their life. But that regeneration, that is now only the beginning. There is more. There is actually much more. There is much more power to be known, to be felt, to be experienced in the life of that people coming out of that blessed resurrection. But let us sing first. 421, stanza 3. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art. Thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling. And what follows in the third verse of Psalter 421. that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. What are some of those other benefits that are flowing out of the resurrection of Christ? Paul, he says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Thus, justification, what is that, children? We will say it easy. That is the forgiveness of our sins. Justification, that is now another blessing that is flowing out of the resurrection of Christ. And then we have this question. Where are those people that with Paul, they have a desire that they may know the power of the resurrection of Christ? That they may know the power of the forgiveness of their sins. That can only be a people who experience death, who experience condemnation. It can only be a people who are slain by the law, who desire to know something, not in their mind, but to know something of the power of that resurrection of Christ. Then they desire to feel something else than the death. They desire to feel life. They desire to feel forgiveness. They desire to experience something of that freedom from that curse. They desire that they may know something of what that is, that a man, he may go out of that court acquitted by the judge. Or to know something of that freedom when they have been bound unto that death by their own iniquity, what that is to be so completely set free from that prison of judgment. Oh, to feel something. To feel something of the power, like that publican who smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and went down to his house justified. But what does Paul say is the only way we can receive it? He says it here. He says, then I must be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Oh, there is such a power in that. Such a power in that righteousness which is of God in faith, by faith. That is now a power to deliver a man from all his guilt. A power to deliver a man from all the curse, from all the punishment, from all the consequences. The power to set a man so free. Oh, that righteousness which is in Christ by faith, that has power to cleanse a filthy conscience, a speaking conscience, so that it is as if a man had never committed one sin in his entire lifetime. and that every sin that has been imputed unto him from his father Adam is also taken away. That is the power. If we may know the smallest part of that power, then we will ask with the Apostle Paul, oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul knew it, but he desires to feel it. He desires to know it again. He desires to enter into that knowledge of Christ again. That is that intimate knowledge to receive from him his love. He desires to feel it in his heart. Why? Oh, to feel it. To experience it. Oh, then there is so much rest. Then there is so much peace. The Lord, he receives such an honor in it. It is a taste of heaven. Here upon the earth, a taste of reconciliation, a taste of communion. And therefore, Paul, he says, oh, that I may know him, and that I may know the power of his resurrection. That is not only in justification, but that is a power in his sanctification. Because Paul, he says, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so he says we should walk in newness of life. Newness of life. What is newness of life? Young people, If you were, it was said you could have a new life. A new life. What kind of life would you want? What is that newness of life? That is a life that is without sin. Without sin. Would you want such a life? Maybe you say, wait. Wait till I'm older. Then I can have a life without sin. But now I would like to have a life in sin. That is our heart. But that blessed life, that is a life without sin. Paul knew it too. But what did Paul experience in it? Oh, think of it again. Because Paul, in that desire for that new life, he experienced death. Death. It is the only way. It comes over and over again. In the life of God's children, there is only one way. The Apostle Paul, he says, the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, he had to experience death, not only in the way of justification, but also in that way of sanctification. And what was now that hope of the Apostle Paul? He said it to the Corinthians. He says that Christ, he is made unto us sanctification. Sanctification. That is now the wonder in the life of that people. And now to feel the power of this. Oh, to feel the power of that resurrection of Christ. Then it needs to be renewed every day. Because that pollution and that corruption that is coming forth of my heart every day. And then that power. Oh, to know the power of that resurrection of Christ. That he may be my sanctification. Oh, then I want to feel that. I want to know that. I want to live in that. The power of his life. The power of his obedience. The power of all that he has accomplished. Imputed also unto me that I, as that bride, Oh, in that submission to Him, when I have lost all my own holiness, that I may receive from Him, by faith, His holiness. That I may be so cleansed in one moment, by faith, so cleansed, that there is nothing from the moment of my conception to this day, and that there shall be nothing to the last breath I take in this world that will be able to hinder me from entering into that blessed communion with that holy and that righteous God. Oh, that I may know. That I may know the power of His resurrection. That I may be given to feel it again. More of it. Oh, that I may know that reconciliation. The blessedness of His favor. The shining of His face. And that I may feel something of His communion. Oh, what is coming out of that blessed resurrection of Christ. One more thing. Paul, he says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And we read here, we read, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Oh, that is the fourth thing. That is that blessed hope of the resurrection of the dead. That is what Paul says. It is to know the power of His resurrection. And so Paul, he is also desiring this. And God's children, they are not a stranger of this, because how many times do they not fear to die? But how is it when they may know, when they may experience something of that power, of that resurrection? Paul, he says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And that is true. And it remains always that last enemy, but now the resurrection of Christ. That is that testimony in the heart of that church, that every enemy that is vanquished, the enemy of sin, the enemy of the world, that enemy of Satan, oh, it is death, hell, and the grave. Oh, to know the power of His resurrection, that is to be able to say, oh, death, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Is it not a wonder that Paul, he is asking this? Is there not good reason that the Apostle Paul, he is saying, oh, that I may know Him, and that I may know, that I may experience that power of His resurrection? Is there anything in this whole world that is to be compared with that knowledge of Christ? Oh, to be His bride, to receive from Him everything, and also that blessed ability to submit myself to Him in everything. Oh, is there anything in this whole world that is to be compared with knowing, experiencing, feeling that power of His resurrection in my regeneration, in my justification, in my sanctification, and even that hope, oh, that blessed hope of my resurrection? Oh, the enemies, when Christ arose, they fled at the glory, they fled at the majesty. Oh, that is the way it will be also for us. One day, when we do not know such a desire. But congregation, the hope and the expectation of the people, that is, that people that have to experience death, that have to experience that they are slain by that law, and that they are not able to deliver themselves from that law. Oh, do you know what he says? He says, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Oh, that Son, risen from the dead, and then for that faith of that bride, oh, to behold it, even for a moment, even the little ones, the littlest ones, with that death in themselves, and that inability to come out of that death. And then to hear that he says himself, oh, because I live, ye shall live also. Amen. We now ask those that wish to make confession of faith to arise and to answer the following questions. First, do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed, to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Second, do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Third, do you promise at all times to conduct yourselves conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession and with good works? Fourth, do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event, which God forbid, that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer, Joshua Alec Busicum? Megan Leanne Busicum, Cornelia Martina Janssen, Cornell Oscom, yes. Pamela Marie Van Driesten, Cornelia Vandenberg, Shane Lyle Vandenberg. Young people, it is with great gladness that we, as your consistory, and we are sure your parents, grandparents, your families, your friends, they may be either here or elsewhere, glad that they may be witnesses of this, your confession. It is a good thing that even if it may be in an outward way, that there are young people who desire more than can be found in this world. You have heard that the first step, that is to receive instruction. And you have received much instruction in your life, and that began with your own parents and has continued for these many years. And that was instruction you have received in the catechism class and at the school, and now a little while also in our confession class. And it was very good for us as a consistory to hear in your examination that you have taken these things seriously, and that you have acquired a much knowledge of the doctrine of the truth. That knowledge that is in the first place increasing your accountability. That is, you will have to give an answer one day for all the knowledge that you have received of that Word of God. And it is therefore not the same as those who are in this world and have not received that knowledge. But we have a great responsibility to walk in that way. For those that have known the way and have not walked therein, a day we read shall be beaten with many stripes. Thus it is increasing your responsibility. However, that knowledge is also such a great blessing, because it is the means that the Lord is using for the true conversion of His people. And yet, that knowledge is not enough. There are so many that will stand one day at the judgment seat of Christ with much knowledge, and they shall go lost. The Apostle Paul, he had much knowledge. He was brought up, we read, at the feet of Gamaliel. I think we all should have loved to hear the instruction of that reputable counselor, that doctor of the law. But there came a day that the Apostle Paul began to be instructed by the Lord, that the Lord began to teach him. And it is not that the Lord had not directed everything that had gone before. But you know that day, and that the Lord began to teach him. He became his instructor. And what then? Well, then you know that Paul experienced power. Power. That was like no instruction that the Apostle Paul had ever received in his life when the Lord began to teach him. And we read that Paul, he desired to know more of that power. That instruction from the Lord, it was indeed in the life of Paul as a resurrection from the dead. And the Apostle Paul, he says now further, that I may know him, and that I may know the power of his resurrection. And it is our hope, it is our wish for you, and that this may become the quest, the searching of your entire life. We ask you to memorize one more thing. We have asked you to memorize many things, but we ask you to memorize one more thing. And that is, therefore we have kept it short, that is the words of our text. The words of our text. That you take that along with you now, when you go from this place, and that that would become your prayer every day, Lord, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Then you understand, you pray against yourself. Because if you will know the power of the resurrection, then you must know the power of death. And thus it is a prayer Lord, show me the death in every way wherein I have fallen, and give me to know something of that power of thy resurrection. There will be no more exam from us. Not from us. There will be one more exam. And that is at the end of our life. And there the Lord will examine us. He will examine us to see, to know, whether we know anything, the smallest part of Him and the power of His resurrection. May God bless you. Congregation, we ask you to stand and to sing on behalf of these young people, Psalter 48, at the fourth stanza. And for all the meek thou wilt provide, they shall be fed and satisfied. All they that seek the Lord shall live, and never-ending praises give, and never-ending praises give. Psalter 48, stanza 4, standing.
For all the meek thou wilt provide, they shall be fed and satisfied. Seek the Lord shall live, and never-ending praises give, and
let us now close with a word of thanksgiving. Lord of heaven and of earth, we have been witnesses in these moments of that answer. Thou art the witness. Thou knowest also the heart. Lord, remember them. All they that seek the Lord shall live, and never-ending praises give, that it may be the portion of each and every one of them, and that all together we may cry to thee day by day, that we may know thee and the power of thy resurrection. Wilt thou grant us thankful hearts, and for what thou hast given in this morning hour, and that thou hast also helped us through. And wilt thou be with us further in this day, bring us safely to our places. Remember him that will read in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou supply for him also, and wilt thou strengthen us further for all the labors of our hands. Remember us together for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 422, stanzas 6 and 8. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is e'er our fortress and our tower. 6 and 8 of Psalter 422.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.